Hey everybody, it's Lloyd Spence, and guess what? It's that time of year, my favorite time of year, March Madness, and BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, the NBA is also in full swing. College basketball is heating up as the schools make their way to the madness. Listen, the tournament is coming, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. Look, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. And guess what? You can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag. BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you.
You are now listening to Believe in the ACC with my husband, Mr. Talking Noise, Lloyd Spence, and our brother, Heisman Trophy and Florida State legend, Charlie Ward. And now, Lloyd and Charlie. Go get them, fellas.
I purposely put on my March Madness gear so I can be ready. I'm fanboying out. But then I'm also cold. It's unusually cold here. It's really cold in Texas today. I don't know why.
What's cold, though?
I mean, it's like 44 degrees.
Get out of here.
So, I mean, listen, us, that's cold. Like, you know, we don't do that. Like, you saw as you saw earlier, we don't do this. We're not prepared.
I will
for this
say
kind
it
of
is
stuff.
Warmer than the it is warmer than that here than it
See,
is.
That's
here.
What I'm saying. I wasn't prepared for all this freezing, whatever this is. But it's a good day to do our award show. So welcome to not only Believe in the ACC, but the first annual Believe in the ACC Basketball Award, sponsored by eBay and BetOnline.ag. Charlie Ward is actually on vacation.
A much deserved vacation.
So we have our guy Kendrick Haskins here, who will be giving out awards on both his own behalf and Charlie's behalf. So this is a combined voting for him. But I'm excited. Because this went very well for the football awards. We had some surprises that people didn't see coming, which I suspect we may have a few of those today. And it was good. It felt good in my soul. That's really what I'm looking for this morning, that my soul will be gratified to give out these awards. So, Kendrick, are you ready to give out some hardware, as they say?
As ready as I'm going to be.
Right. Well, before we can give out the hardware, we got to start with the breaking news. Moses Wright, Georgia Tech ACC Player of the Year. Georgia Tech everything. Out for the first tournament game.
That first tournament game is against who? That's what I'm looking at.
Loyola
Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, Sister Jean.
Sister Jean. I was thinking Sister Jean. You know, she got the magic touch, bro.
And I was worried about that game before he was out. And so
I don't know, Georgia Tech. I don't know. Y'all might have picked a bad time to be trying to
go up against divine intervention.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is bad. This can hit real bad.
Yeah. I think I'm going with Loyola in that game.
I
may have already picked that anyway.
Well, listen, I was just going to say the brackets, if you go to our page, you know, we're doing the bracket Tology thing for if you are a part of the Noisemaker page, you know that we have our own Bracketology tournament going on right now, and also sponsored by eBay. And so if you want to come and be a part of that, all you have to do, let me move the banner here. There we go. All you have to do is go to ESPN.com/bracket and the Noisemakers. And we have our own prize. Even though ESPN is giving their prizes, we have our own prizes that you can win as well. So I said all that to say, Kendrick, the brackets don't close until like 4 o'clock. Well, no, they don't even close after the play-in games. They don't close until tomorrow.
You got an extra day this year then.
You got an extra day. So technically, you can pick somebody else and look like a genius. So,
the thing was for me with the brackets is that Michigan State UCLA side, because it's hard to pick their next game who they play against BYU, because either one of them could beat BYU, but yeah. You don't want to just pick that one randomly. So I'm like good with holding out on that one.
See, and here's the reality. I don't know enough about BYU. I know they're a 6 seed, but I don't know enough about them to just be like, well, they can beat either one of them.
Right. So, because my thing with Michigan State is they did play well down the stretch of the season, even though they struggled most of it.
Well,
If they were to beat UCLA, I think I would pick them to beat BYU. But if UCLA is to beat Michigan State, I'm not as confident in them beating BYU.
And as you're saying that, I'm going to look this up, because if memory serves me correctly, and I think that it does, I think Michigan State beat both Illinois and Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
So, listen, I clearly love Illinois because I have them winning the national championship. So,
me too.
Don't you have to believe in the team that beat the team you picked to win it all? just by that
playing game, I'm picking Michigan State. But again, it's hard. Plus, you know, at the same time, there's somewhat of that little bias where Michigan State's always on TV and you don't see BYU that much. So
okay, I'm sorry, not Illinois. I said Illinois. They beat Michigan. And you know what? As I was saying Illinois in my head, I knew it was Michigan. I don't know why I said Illinois.
I knew they got
Illinois and Ohio State. That's what it was. Yeah,
I knew they had gotten two of those three.
I think I'm going to – I don't know. I'll wait. Listen, it doesn't close till tomorrow, so I got time.
But, yeah, you got time.
Yeah, I got time. But the Moses Wright thing is a big deal. That's not a small deal.
Right.
That is not a small thing. So I'm curious.
He's a player of the year in the conference. So.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. That's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Okay, let's jump right in, man. We should have had music. I didn't have any music. I don't know. I was tired, man. I don't know. Okay. Okay, here we go. By the way, let me let our listening audience know, for the basketball awards, we did something a little different. I know the football awards are all men, and we didn't pick the volleyball. We just picked football. So this time we said the men's team and the women's team. So we picked both sides this time because we are not a gender-biased show. Showed love, and we've shown love all season long to both the men and the women, so we want to do that for our awards show as well. So, okay, with that being said, our first category, set of categories actually, is team. So we start with team awards. So we start with the most surprising team for the men and the women. So, Kendrick, who you got?
For the men, it's pretty easy. It's the team that won the conference tournament, Georgia Tech.
Really? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that one seemed like a no-brainer because no one saw that coming. So I got
that is
Georgia.
Very true. That is very, very true. Okay, on the women's side?
I'm going Virginia Tech on the women's side.
Really? Now, that is a shocker. We're off the shockers already, I see. why Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech, I mean, think about it. They beat NC State. Granted, NC State's best player wasn't there, but they still beat them.
They still beat them. It counts.
And then they was right there. They had Louisville beat at Virginia Tech. And so, when you have the top two teams in the conference on the ropes, I think I'll go with Virginia Tech. Who you got?
I like it. So the one thing that's interesting about these awards is that you can go – people will think that you're going positive, so to speak, but that's not what the category is. It says most surprising. Right. So for me, the most surprising team on the men's side was Duke. For them to, I mean, it's for Duke to be as bad as they were for so long this season, that was surprising. And I think a lot of it had to do with, I think Coach K, this is weird to say this about a Hall of Fame coach, but I think he was torn about this season all season long. And it took him a minute to kind of mentally and the team to mentally lock in and say, okay, let's go play some basketball and let's focus. Because that first, it seemed like that first couple of months, he was just like, we shouldn't be doing this. And man, right. Why are we out here? And
it never really seemed like Coach K was totally on board with this season.
He wasn't. He kept trying to postpone it and come up with different solutions. And I think that played a big part into the reason why it took them so long to settle all the way in. But once they settled in, they played pretty well. Well, offensively. Defensively, they weren't very good. Yeah. Defensively, they weren't very good. But that was a surprise to see a Duke team struggle so early in the season. And they're not in. I mean, that's shocking to me and surprising to me that they are not in this year's tournament. So that's my men. And for the women, I went with Florida State. I went with Florida State's women because you don't know what's going to happen when a coach is out.
Right.
And for them to rally, and for a while there, it looked like, okay, this is what happens when a coach is out. You're going to have some communication issues. You're going to have some translation of thought issues. Like, we don't get what you're trying to do as opposed to what our legend was trying to do. But eventually, man, they figured that thing out. And Charlie's not here. They may lose her because she's really good. We found out that she's really, really good. And I'm telling you, man, if she has a tournament, she's already proven herself that she's in coach material. But if she goes into this tournament and went and steals a couple, I'm just saying.
Charlie doesn't even like you to hint at that.
But I know. I mean, I know. Well, that's why I took the liberty to do it today. Even though I probably would have done it if he was here too. Reality is she's very good. Coach Wyckoff is very good.
Yes,
and,
she is.
And I'm impressed by what she's done with this team. So that was my most surprising team. Let's go to our second category of the team categories. But we're like the Grammys. We got all these categories. Okay. Best offensive team.
Well, the men's side, I went with Florida State. I mean, they're the leading scoring team in the conference, and so it's kind of them by default, even though you look at the nationally is how far down – I think they were like – they're like 30-something in the country.
Right.
And yet they're leading the ACC, so there's that.
That alone tells you where the ACC was this year, right?
Right.
Okay, and on the women's side?
On the women's side, I was kind of debating – I think I'm gonna be a homer with that one. Go with Louisville because Louisville has so many scoring options. It's not just Dana Evans. They got so many players who can light you up from downtown. If they get hot, it's almost impossible to stop them when they get going. So I'm going with Louisville on that
one. I will echo your best offensives. I picked exactly the same way. And when you look at all of the statistical categories for both teams, both the Florida State on the men's side and Louisville on the women's side, they are the clear. Now, more so in Louisville. Louisville, at least, their statistics stack up against national statistics. So at least theirs look really good. On Florida State side, they just – the better of, like you said, the ACC, but
that's 33rd in the country.
Yeah, that just looks terrible nationally, but at least you know they look good on the offensive side. So yeah, I went with the same Florida State Louisville combination on that. How about best defensive team?
Defensive men's. I mean, Virginia by default again. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one that you can pretty much just slide them in there year in and year out.
I was going to say, it's almost hard to remove them from that place, right? Like, they're just going to be there.
Right.
What about on the women's side?
I think you got to go NC State. They gave up the fewest points per game, fewest points, period. And so even though they played only 22 games, but still points per game is where you look at it on that. Got to go with NC State.
Once again, we have matched each other's voting. 60.4% scoring, 41% in field goal, holding people to 41% or less in field goal percentage. I mean, that's pretty good. But they ain't just that team. They're just going – they have decided as a program – we're going to beat you defensively.
Right.
Now, hopefully that will lead to points. Hopefully. but we're definitely going to stop you. So I wonder how much time they spend in a practice on defense. It feels like a lot. Like, it feels like 45 minutes of an hour practice is defense.
But, you know, they know what they're doing so much. It's probably like all defense in the offseason. And then as the season goes on, they probably –
I think so, too.
They probably work more on the offensive end because by January, about February, it's all just second nature to them anyway. They're not thinking anymore at that point. It's just all second nature.
And I'm sure you heard this. We had a thought that we would always carry on our teams that I played on, and the theme would be, let's play on a string. You know, everybody's on a string. We're moving as one, and that's Virginia. If I'm going to show a young team what team defense looks like, I'm probably going to start with Virginia. Like, this is
how they're the epitome of that. Yeah.
Yeah. They are the best at that. I got to give them credit for that, if nothing else. Most disappointing team.
Well, to me, that one's obvious. It's Duke.
Okay.
I went with Duke there. On the women's side, I guess. It shouldn't be that disappointing just because they are breaking in a new coach, but it's still weird to see Notre Dame struggle the way they did this year. So I have to say Notre Dame.
Okay, that's good. That's fair. I went a different route because my surprising was Duke. I went with Louisville because I thought Louisville should have been better this year. Now, granted, they ran into a myriad of issues.
They lost three games. They lost three games.
Well, on the men's side, I'm talking about. On the men's side.
Oh, on the men's side. On the men's side.
Yeah, on the men's side. They just ran into a myriad of issues, and they just couldn't overcome really themselves. Like, they just really couldn't overcome themselves. Like, I think their greatest opponent was them.
Yeah, I mean, they had so many injuries. I mean, they played with a full. They never played with a full roster the whole season.
The whole season. It was just weird, man. It was a weird, weird season. If I'm Louisville, I'm kind of probably glad we didn't get into the tournament so we can hit the reset button, and see. And that brings me to this question. I know we got to go on to with the show. And let me give you my women's first, but I want to talk about this real quick. My women's was actually Syracuse because I almost went with Notre Dame because that's the logical choice. Because, like you said, it's weird not having Notre Dame in as it is not having Duke in. Right. But I went with Syracuse because I think they were projected to be higher and better, and they kind of didn't live up to that. So I went with Syracuse.
Honestly, it was kind of hard for me to pick Notre Dame just because they are breaking in a new coach.
Right. But here's what I'm going to ask you about Louisville. Probably going to lose Carly because he's probably going to get drafted. Probably going to lose David.
Yeah.
But if you're Coach Mack, do you try to talk them out of it?
Well,
because they get the year.
Yeah. Well, Carly, I can kind of see it, but I don't know even there. But, I mean, they got the kid from Miami coming in.
Okay.
But he's more of a swing. It just depends on how the point guard situation is showing up. If you could get Carly to come back, you bring him back.
I have not seen the latest mocks on him. I know at one point he was definitely projected. I believe he was projected in the first round late or mid to late. David Johnson was projected.
I haven't really seen Carly because I wonder about his size, of how much they're gonna hold his size against him.
See, if I'm Carly, I would take advantage of that, man. I listen, you got the year. stay in the program one more year. You made a lot of noise.
Thing is the age thing, though. You know how the NBA is today, but the age, you know, we harp on that with Charlie all the time. It's like they want somebody young as if 23 years old is old.
Right. But he's such a smart player.
He's a good player. He has a high basketball IQ.
Yeah.
He's a dog. He ain't scared. You know, he'll go in against anybody.
See, I can see
I like him a lot. I just looking at today's NBA.
No, you're right.
He's a capable. He's going broken? These days. Okay. You know.
Yeah, you're right 100%. I just I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if he'd be willing to stay just one more year and work on some things, just a few things, because I would love to see him coming off an NBA bench. I think he would be the ideal. You know who he reminds you of? He reminds you of a smarter Quinn Cook.
I can see that. I don't think he's as quick as Quinn Cook was.
He's not as quick, yeah. He's not as quick.
But, yeah, I can see that a little bit.
Yeah, so.
I think if he gets the league, he's definitely going to be coming off the bench. I don't think he's going to start in the NBA.
No.
But
unless I'm missing something, I definitely see him as a contributor in the NBA. So, all right. Our final team category. Best team in the ACC regular season.
I pretty much think that all three of us are going to say Florida. I know one of us is going to say Florida State, but I think all three of us will go Florida State on that one.
Right. Yeah. And on the women's side?
NC State. They won it. They had the most unstoppable player in the league, I think, was Kunan. So I'll go with NC State.
See, despite everything that has happened, despite the NC State beating them twice, I still went with Louisville. I still think Louisville is a team that when they have it all rolling, you can't beat them. You cannot beat them. Here's what's ironic to me about them. I think regular season-wise, they're not built for that. Tournament-wise, they're perfect. They're absolutely perfect.
Because they have that depth.
We're about to find out. Yeah, I think that's what we're about to find out with them playing in this tournament.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of run they have because, they got all the pieces you need except for when it counts in the inside. Like,
the players inside, they don't have the experience inside.
They don't have the experience, right?
They're just not, they're still young inside. And so.
But can that hype of and momentum of the tournament propel them to a championship this year? I think this is the best, and this is weird saying that with Asia's team, because I thought Asia's team was really good, but I think this is the best chance they have to win one.
Depth wise, top to bottom of the roster, this is probably his best roster.
Yeah,
Walls
has had. Yeah, I agree with that.
I worry about them running into like a Kunan.
That's the X factor.
Teams that have athletic bigs that can do multiple things give them all kinds of problems, and so that's what I worry about with them.
They're in the South Carolina. I think they're in the South Carolina region, if I'm not mistaken, which is the blessing. If I'm not mistaken, they're in that group. Hold on, I have a bracket for women. I did a women's bracket. yes, they are. I am correct. They're in South. No, I'm sorry. They're in Stanford's.
It's looking at their bracket. I'm confident they'll get at least to the Elite Eight.
Yes, I agree. And I think they can beat Georgia.
Yeah.
If it came down to that, if it went chalk.
Even though Georgia's got an athletic big too.
Yeah.
But I think that bracket's gonna be chalk.
I think they got the best draw they could get to get to the Final Four. Because I think they would struggle against NC State. They have already proven they can, although beating a team three times is not an easy thing to do.
Right. They were right there last time.
Yeah, they was right there last time. UConn is UConn. South Carolina.
UConn, Kentucky could be interesting.
That could be interesting.
Ryan Howard for Kentucky is really good.
Especially if Geno's not back.
He'll be back by then.
I think he'll be back too. But, but there's always a chance. There's always a chance. Okay. So that's our team awards. Now we transition over to, well, you know what?
Individual.
We're at the halfway point. Let's just take a quick break. Play a commercial. And then we'll do our individual awards. Here we go. You're listening to Believe in the ACC. What up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Noise, and I'm trying to tell y'all what's going on with our newest sponsor, eBay. Now, whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verifies the box, logo, stitching, and a dozen of other inspection points. And each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also tags sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 plus, making it free to sell or flip your collection. You can't beat that. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. That's ebay.com/sneakers today. It's eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. All right, we are back. Kendrick Haskins, Lloyd Spence, Charlie Ward is on a much deserved vacation, but we are doing our first ever in the history of this show, which, you know, says, you know, not so much because we've only been around for a little while, but still, we're doing it. This is the first annual. It's the inaugural Believe in the ACC Basketball Award sponsored by eBay. Where you can authenticate your sneakers and get some money off of that. That's kind of a pretty good deal if you ask me. I don't know. sneaker game is crazy, son. Okay. But now we're doing our awards. We're talking about the individual player awards now. We're going to start off with Freshman of the Year. Kendrick, who you got on?
Well, I threw a curveball because I went with Newcomer of the Year.
Ah, okay. Who you going with?
I think you know who I'm going with. I'm going with Carleek Jones on that one.
Interesting. Okay.
All the things we've been talking about in the last segment, I mean,
yeah,
he comes in as a grad transfer, takes over the team almost instantly, and, you know, despite Louisville not having the best season, he was by far the best part of that team.
Oh, and man.
I mean, without him, no talent. I mean, that season could have really gone left.
I was just about to say, can you imagine this season without Carleek? Oh, my God.
Right.
They'd have been Duke.
But they'd been worse than Duke.
Or worse.
They'd have been worse than Duke.
Yeah, man. Jeez. Okay.
They'd have been the Houston Rockets.
That's not necessary. That's not kind of slanderous behavior going on right now. Jeez.
It's only slander if it's not true.
We got to talk about that on the five, man. We got to bring you back on the five to talk about it. Jeez. Can there be a bigger train wreck than the city of Houston right now?
It is.
That thing is just, oh, man. Anyway, who'd you go for the women?
Freshman of the Year, I went with Haley Van Lith.
Okay.
She came in with a ton of expectations and lived up to them. Great three-point shooter. You still haven't seen all that she has in her bag. Trust me. But she's a guard. She'll get in there and rebound. That's one of the things that impressed me about her, because she came in with all these offensive accolades, but she's not a prima donna. She's hard-nosed. She'll get in there. She'll mix it up. And like I said, she's deadly from three. She had her struggles about midway through the season. She went through a bit of a slump, but overall, I have to go with Haley Van Lith.
You can see the potential. You can see that at some point this is going to translate into something really, really special. So I think that's a solid pick. I actually went with the freshman side of this. I went with the young Scotty Barnes at Florida State, who had an amazing season. And dare I say, had he not been amazing, dare I say Florida State season would have been quite interesting. I think they were still good. Yeah, they were still good, but Scotty added a little bit of something I think they were hoping for, and he met the expectations. So I'll give Scotty the nod on that. And then, of course, the actual ACC freshman of the year, I went a little bit chalk here with Camila Cardosa, simply because if she doesn't play well, Syracuse has no shot.
Right.
Zero shot.
Right. Right.
So she kind of saved their season.
I like her size. I think she's exactly the type. Like I said, she gave Louisville problems. She's exactly the kind of player that's gonna cause matchup issues in the tournament.
She is. Now it's gonna be interesting to see how they do in the tournament, because I think all season long, I think we've not necessarily seen her freshmanness. But I think we're about to see her freshmanness in the
tournament. I think their biggest issues, they don't give her the ball enough.
Well, I don't know. Now that's very true.
That's what's gonna end up being their downfall, is they don't give her the ball enough.
But I guess where I look at that on the opposite side of that, and as speaking as a big, you gotta demand it. And as you're older, you know that when you're younger, you don't want to make waves, and you know,
right, you're trying to fit in.
Yeah, you're trying to fit in. So I wonder what will she demand the ball? Because there are times when I'm looking at her play and I'm going, girl, ask for it. Make them give you the ball.
She's too good to disappear on the offense.
Yeah, because they go as she goes.
Right.
And if she's humming, then they're going to be a problem.
But a lot of that still falls on your guards, though.
Yeah.
It falls on your guards. If you go as she goes, even if she's not demanding the ball, you got to push her. You got to push her at that point.
Well, and that's true, but I'll just say this from experience. Sometimes you have to remind the guards in a very subtle way.
Right. I mean, it's a give and take.
You don't pass the ball. You know, you got to put that tight teeth thing in there, you know. I've had to have that conversation a few times. So that was my pick on freshman of the year. Let's go to offensive player of the year.
I'm gonna go. I think I may be going a little bit off the board, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I'm going with a person who impressed me the most every time I saw him play, even though the team struggled, and that's Matthew Hurt.
That's not a bad pick. Go ahead.
I like that kid. I like that kid's NBA prospects. He's a big. He can shoot. I mean, that guy can shoot. I like Matthew Hurt a lot. I had to go with Matthew Hurt.
Okay, that's a good choice. Dare I say, this should be obvious, but I don't know. You may shock me. Let's see if you shock me on the women's side.
You know where I'm going.
Okay. All right. So we both agree that Dana Evans is by far. So I was thinking that. I was like, he may shock me. I don't know. I actually went with chalk on this. I thought Moses was the most consistent in the ACC. Everybody else was kind of up and down, but Moses was the most consistent, and it really started to show up in the second half of the season. I went with the chalk on that. So I got to give the young man his props on that one. So, all right. Before we do defensive, I said most improved. Who is the most improved?
You know what? It's not crazy to say Moses Wright.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy if you look at the numbers. It is not crazy.
I think that's where I'm going. I'm going to go with Moses Wright.
You're going Moses on that one? All right. So that's on the men's side. What about on the women's side?
That's a tough one, because if you can't tell, I'm a big fan of Kunan.
Okay.
And like, I thought she played well last year. I think she took that next step this season.
I thought so too. Yeah.
I'm going with her.
So you and I on the women's side are in complete lockstep. I thought she last year she was a college player. This year she started to look like a low second round WNBA player.
I don't even think low second round.
You don't think low second round? See, there's a couple of things that I'd like to see her do better, but I don't know what the rest of the draft is going to look like either. So,
right.
But I think she's – I like her. I like her a lot. She's definitely going to play in the league.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah,
and I don't think I would have said that last year.
Right. Like I said, I think she just took that next step.
Yeah.
In her development.
Also, now she's carrying teams.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, another player I don't want to forget is Ivana Rocca for Wake Forest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean – I think she still has another step that she can take.
Okay. Now my men's most improved is different though. I actually went with Isaiah Wong.
Okay.
From Miami. Even though Miami didn't have the greatest of season, but
Miami was tough at home though. I think
Miami was tough at home. Got slammed with COVID a little bit cuz you know Florida don't care. But here's the thing, here's a stat that's going to shock you. Last year as a freshman, young man averaged 7.7 points a game. This year, as a sophomore, 17 points a game.
That's defined as a leap.
That is a leap. And so if he stays on this trajectory, not only are we maybe looking at a future ACC player of the year, we may be looking at a first rounder. Like he's really starting to come into his own as a player, and I think the game is slowing down for him. So I like the young man. I think he's on the right track. They just got to get him some help. Got to get him some help. He's out there trying to do it all by himself. So Isaiah Wong was my most improved. What about defensive player of the year? I can go first if you like there, Kendrick.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and go first?
I actually went with Jose Alvarado from Georgia Tech.
I was debating between him and somebody else. So go ahead.
Yeah, that was to me. Georgia Tech is another one of those teams that I thought kind of rested their hat on the defensive side of the ball this year, and it was the right choice, by the way. But they
do it differently.
But they do it differently, though. It's not like Virginia. I wouldn't say their complete team defense is great, but they got enough defensive components that are great. And Jose and Moses are at the center of that, but I think Jose is about as good as anybody. So I went with Jose on the men's side. And then on the women's side, I went Georgia Tech again. Lorella Kubage.
Yeah.
I love her. Mm-hmm. I love her. We've talked about her before. Yeah. I am a huge fan of hers. And I think she's the perfect role player. And she may end up stumbling into the WNBA as well, just because she's such a presence. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling if she continues, if she has a good tournament, it could be interesting. So I'm a big fan of hers.
I agree with you on the women's side. On the men's side, I love Alvarado. He gets in the passing lanes. He's just an irritant.
He's an irritant. The ball
up the floor, kind of. On that part of it, he kind of reminds me of like the Peyton Siva and Russ Smith type of guards who's just in your jersey all game long and driving you crazy. But I went with Jay Huff, a defensive player.
Oh, okay.
It's not a thing, because what he does on defense is not necessarily something that you can find in the stats. It's because they don't really take a stat for changing shots.
Yeah, right.
And just flat out just being hard to score on. And it's, so I debated between those two, but I went with Jay Huff.
That's a solid pick. Okay. Kendrick, our very first ever Believe in the ACC, all first team ACC team. Who are your starting men's five?
This one's tough.
It is tough. I thought it was tough too.
At the guard, I gotta go with Carlee.
Okay.
At one guard, let's see. This I ain't gonna lie, this is the one I didn't always get to. I'm going to go with, in the backcourt, I'll go with Carly, and I'll go with Alvarado just because, I mean, defensively, he's so good.
Okay, that's fair.
In the middle, of course, is Moses Wright.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go Buddy Boeheim.
Oh, wow.
Buddy Boeheim.
Okay.
Because, again, he's so versatile. The thing I'm arguing with myself with him is between Buddy Boeheim and Sam Hyzer. But I'm going with Buddy Boeheim, and then I go Matt Hurt. Matt Hurt. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna switch that. I'm gonna take out Boeheim, put in Matt Hurt, and then put in Jay Huff.
Jay Huff. Okay. All right. Solid five, sir. I actually didn't go completely position. I just picked five players that I thought needed to be on the first team. So I went with Carleek. I went with Matthew Hurt. I went with Moses Wright, the obvious choice there. And then I went with the freshman, Scotty Barnes. He made the squad. And then I went with the most improved, Isaiah Wong.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's my five on the men's side. What about on the women's side, Kendrick?
Women's side, Dana, of course. Alyssa, of course. I shout her out early. Ivana Rocca.
Okay, yeah.
After that, I'm trying not to be a homer.
Be a homer. Be a homer. It's okay. Especially if they deserve it.
Well, the thing is it's hard to say if she deserves it. Of course, I'm talking about Haley Van Lith, but the thing with Haley, though, she had a couple of games where, you know, she had some four-point games in there. I do like Aisha Shepherd from Virginia Tech.
Ooh, curveball. Okay.
Yeah. I've been big on Virginia Tech, even though they're kind of up and down.
Yeah.
I really like Virginia Tech.
Okay.
And of course, Camila Cardoso. I'll put her first team.
Camila Cardoso. Okay. So three of those are – We have the same, Dana, Alyssa, and Camilla. My only two switch ups are, well, no, I think four of those we had because you had Jakia, right? Mm-hmm. Jakia Brown Turner. So four. My only switch up was Lorella Kubaj. Because I just thought she's had a really good, solid year. And so I put her in there on the first team with the first team group. Do you have any surprises as it relates to Coach of the Year?
I doubt it. I mean, I'm going with Jeff Walls.
Oh, you went with Jeff? Oh, wow.
Yeah, just because they lost two games. They really only lost three games.
Right.
I'll go with Jeff.
Okay. And on the women's side, well, for me, I went with Josh Pastner because I'm shocked.
Yeah, Josh Pastner on the men's side. Yeah. Me definitely.
Oh, I said on the women's side. Okay, let's go back to the women's side. Well, with the women, yeah, they lost three games, but I gave the nod to the person that beat them. So I gave it to Wes Moore.
I mean, it's between those two.
Huh?
It's between those two.
Yeah, it was a two-man race for sure. So I gave it to Wes Moore. Yeah, on the men's side, I gave it to Josh Pastner.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I agree with you on that one because, again, I mean, it's one of those things you didn't see it coming. You look in hindsight when you look at how they played and you look at their players, it's like, how do we not see it coming? But it was Georgia Tech still team has something to prove, and they had those two bad losses early in the season, so you kind of just basically stopped paying attention to Georgia Tech.
That's very true.
Losses. And so I think that's why. But, yeah, I like Georgia Tech. I like Josh Pastner.
Okay, so here it comes. The first ever Believe in the ACC MVP award. And the winner for the men's side as it relates to Kendrick Hassan / Charlie Ward. Who you got?
I mean, this has got to be the player of the year, right? Moses Wright.
I'd be Moses Wright. I agree 100%. Where do you see him being drafted if he comes out? Or do you see him being drafted if he comes out?
I think he gets drafted. is a little bit undersized for the way he plays. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Tobias Harris.
Okay.
So he's a first round pick. I just wonder his style of play. I wonder how much that'll be held against him.
Mid to late. That's what I see too. I obviously went with Moses Wright. I love him. I think he could be another one of those great role players that comes off the bench and you're just like, man, we stole one here.
He'll be great in a small ball offense.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I thought about Golden State. I was thinking, like, man, if Golden State could get a Moses Wright, that's not a bad. And then there's a couple of people I might trade out if I got a Moses Wright.
Trade out Draymond?
No, you don't do that. That's dumb.
I mean, essentially, you're getting a similar player, and it's younger.
But I like having two Draymonds. I like having a Draymond. I mean,
you have two Draymonds, though.
Well, you can. I mean, you might need a referee to travel with the team, but you can. You know. And then, of course, the obvious choice for me in the women's side was Dana. I don't know if anybody, honestly, in the country, other than the young lady from UConn, Paige, I think is her name, have had a better season than Dana. I feel like she's gonna win Player of the Year, but I don't know.
I wonder how much that bad ACC tournament's gonna strike.
Yeah, it did not go well, but I have a feeling she's gonna rebound and play well in the tournament. But anyway, I overall I think Dana has just been magnificent. Yeah. I think Dana has probably played herself into a top five pick.
I've heard her mentioned as the number one pick.
Well, listen, strange things happen. See, the thing that makes me pause on that is because of the tournament. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen, you know, you've seen. We come into the tournament, all of a sudden this one player just has this other world thing, and then the next thing you know, that's the top player. So, but barring a collapse of monumental proportions, I think Dana is – I will agree with you. I think Dana's the number one pick in the draft, and she's just amazing. I really am impressed with her growth and what she has become as a player.
Yeah, and she has a great attitude. She's obviously a great leader on that team. They love her.
Yeah,
and so yeah, you can't say enough good things about Dana Evans.
Yeah, I she reminds me of a young lady, but better player though, better overall player. Odyssey, remember Odyssey Sims?
Yeah,
yeah, she reminds me kind of Odyssey Sims, but quicker.
She has a better jumper.
She has a much better jumper, but that aggression, that goal.
Yeah.
Dog, she's got that same dog that Odyssey had.
Odyssey had a little bit more size on her.
Oh, Odyssey had a lot more size than Dana.
Yeah,
Odyssey, if you ever seen her, she's a much bigger girl than you, or stronger. She's a stronger woman than you realize. Like, yo, you kind of a strong girl, you know. But I like what Dana represents. I think she's going to be magnificent. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Our first ever Believe in the ACC Awards. I thought it was magnificent. There were twists, there were turns, there were okay, there weren't a lot of twists and turns, but there were a couple of little twists and turns in there. And I think it was good. I think it was really, really good. Are you excited about the tournament, man? It starts tonight.
I am excited about the tournament. You know, I'm here in this area, everybody's all down and depressed and all that stuff, but I'm excited about it. You know, you getting the requisite. Well, I'm not going to watch. Yeah, you are.
I'm totally going to watch. Listen. Everybody sucked. It's just what it is.
All right.
There's nothing you can do about that.
It's a lot of craziness amongst fan bases. Louisville fans blaming Mitch Barnhart for Louisville not making the tournament.
I've heard that a couple of times. I'm going, Mitch Barnhart had nothing to do with you getting blown out by.
If you've been around Mitch Barnhart for 5 minutes, you know he's not that type of person.
He's actually one of the nicest human beings on earth. Right. If we're being completely transparent, he's like one of the nicest people on earth.
He's nice and easygoing guys there. Yeah. He's not going to sit there and just purposely keep U of L out of the tournament.
Yeah, no. U of L did that work all on their own.
Yes, yes.
Just as Kentucky did that work all on their own. Just as Indiana did all that work all on their own. They needed no assistance whatsoever. So
then you hear from the IU fans, but Brad Stevens and
that's not gonna happen. Why are they talking about that? That's not gonna happen. The only reason Brad Stevens would leave Boston is if Indiana is finally ready to bring out the Brinks truck, which they've traditionally proven that they're not willing to do.
I don't know if they have the money to bring out the Brinks
that's
truck
the other part.
Mark Cuban writes another check.
Right,
here's the other thing is they're not going to wait until June to hire a coach. Boston's a playoff team. I mean, they're not going to wait that long.
Not only is Boston a playoff team, Boston is has a solid championship opportunity. Like they have the components. I don't know if they can push it over the top, but on the defensive side of the ball, I'd take Boston against anybody.
They could definitely get to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Yes, they could get to the semis. And, you know, if KD doesn't make it back, which I'm starting to believe that is a possibility because I think that hamstring is far worse than they're talking about, then it's wide open.
I don't know. They're like 14-2 without him. Something crazy like that.
But that's regular season ball. You and I both know.
Right. Man,
them rims get tighter, and that court shrinks in playoff basketball. And so I think Boston, from a defensive side of the ball, is as good as anybody. So Brad Stevens would be a prime idiot if he would leave that team to go coach Indiana. Oh, no.
The only way I can see him to see that happening is if he either fired or the handwriting is on the wall. Which he is starting to get a lot of criticism now.
Well, he is, but unjustifiably so, in my opinion, because I think this is where Danny Ainge has lived off of the reputation, and I don't think he has done the great job that people are saying that he has done. I think he stumbled into some great picks, but the Kemba Walker thing has not worked.
It hadn't worked, but mainly though, because Kemba's been hurt. But
that's who Kemba is, though.
The chemistry of the team, I don't know how much it's rebounded since the whole Kyrie thing.
Well, that yes, I would 100% agree with that. 100% agree with that. By the way, we didn't do this early in the week because we did the mashup on Monday, but I'd like to do it tonight, today. Our non-ACC question or issue. Mine is this. And it happened last night. I love the PJ Tucker trade.
I did too.
I think that is a massive, massive get for Milwaukee. And dare I say, I think this puts them squarely back in the conversation. If PJ Tucker can be PJ Tucker on this team, that is on both sides of the ball, that is a huge
him standing there making those corner threes. I mean that takes I mean he's either gonna have a wide open corner three or somebody's gonna have to try to guard Giannis one-on-one.
But also I think it frees them up on the defensive side of the ball. It frees up a few because now you can put PJ on a James Harden or at least to slow down maybe a little bit of Kyrie or to help with some Joel Embiid. Like you got so many different options that you can use PJ for with his size, with his strength, with his quickness. Man, that's a big man. I gotta give the Bucks a lot of credit to pull the trigger on that one.
He's another comp to Moses Wright too.
Yeah,
he can develop that jump shot. But other than shooting, he's a lot like PJ Tucker.
I would love to see Moses Wright become another PJ Tucker. If he could do that, he could have a long, successful NBA career. But I thought that was a great move. And then the other move that I'm hearing about, did it happen? I heard it discussed. I like the Trevor Ariza for Myers Leonard in Miami.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm feeling that. Don't sleep on Miami.
All right, because they've gotten it together now. They've gotten over their COVID issues, and they're, Jimmy Butler's back.
Jimmy Butler's back.
He's playing as good a ball as he's ever played in his career.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah. Back.
Going into Trevor Ariza on the defensive side of the ball, because something wasn't clicking for them defensively this year like it was last year.
Well, think about this, and this is not for regular season primarily, but it's more so for the playoffs. They're going to have Jimmy Butler, Trevor Ariza, and Andre Iguodala out there
on the perimeter,
seeing the same thing on defense. Mm-hmm. Talk about having four great head coaches to help the defensive side of the ball. That is a massive pickup just for communication and IQ purposes. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see that whole team defensively take a step up. So I love those moves, and I'm excited to see what the counter moves are for the rest of the team, because we still got Andre Drummond out there. There's still a lot of rumors about some other players out there. It's going to be interesting to see what they pull off in the NBA. So I had to throw
I would think Andre Drummond would be a perfect fit for Brooklyn, but I don't think Brooklyn has anything to trade to get him.
No,
I thought he was a better trade for them. I thought he was a better fit for them than Blake Griffin was.
Well, I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to get traded. I think Cleveland is crazy to think. Everybody knows you got to buy him out.
Right.
Everybody knows it. So why would I trade you for him? Why wouldn't I just wait for the buyout and just
a team looking to make that final push? I mean, I can see the Celtics going after it.
Ooh, that'd be a big gift for them.
Yeah, I mean, he could be that piece that somebody needs.
I tell you what, if the Celtics get him. Because, like I said, I fully expect them to be bought out. If the Celtics were able to get them, you got to put them at 1-2-3 conversation now. Because that's a big get. And because just on the defensive side of the ball, that they are, he makes them built for a playoff run.
Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philly.
Right now, that's exactly how I'd have it.
Maybe
Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee.
Then Miami.
Yeah, for sure.
Then Boston.
Yeah.
Then what, the Pacers? Pacers could use Andre Drummond too, but I don't think he's going to be that. I don't think they're at a point to where he could be the piece to take them over the top.
No.
I don't think they're there yet.
No. I tell you, for short and long term, who also would love, who would be good for them to get him, would be Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte, my God. First of all, shout out to LaMelo Ball for making the haters eat their words. My God, the boy can play.
He can play. Jeez, he matured. Play. I think him getting away, I think, helped him in his maturity. Got him away from his daddy.
Tremendously. To not hear his dad barking the whole time, that's amazing.
Yeah, because his demeanor doesn't even seem like the same kid, because he was kind of a jerk on the floor when he was still in high school.
Well, he's gotten healed from all of that, because he looks like not only a solid NBA player, but, man, this kid looks like he's going to be an all-star for many, many years to come. Shout out to Michael Jordan for getting it right finally. It only took him, what, 15 years?
Kind of fell in his lap.
Well, but I'm giving credit for everything, like the Terry Rozier thing, because that was a gamble with Kemba and Terry Rozier, but that seemed to be working out tremendously. The Gordon Hayward thing I thought was crazy. I thought that was
– I wonder, the common denominator with Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward is Michael Jordan and Danny Ainge's relationship.
Well –
just like Danny, the common denominator for the big three was Danny Ainge's boys and Kevin McHale.
Do you think Danny Ainge has been gave Michael Jordan a copy of GMs for Dummies, the book, and now all of a sudden he's like turned it all around?
I think he helped out. Well, because the thing was,
he helped out tremendously.
Danny Ainge loved Terry Rozier. I don't think Danny Ainge really wanted to get rid of Terry.
I don't think
Rozier.
He did either.
And so
I don't think he wanted to pay him either.
I don't think he could pay him with, I mean, all the players in front of him.
Right.
So I think Danny Ainge probably really helped sell Terry Rozier to Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? And, help Jordan realize, that, hey, you have a player here.
And I wondered how that was going to work. I said, how's LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier going to play together? But, man, it looks like, God, they look potentially like they're going to be the best backcourt, not named Kyrie and James Harden, in the Eastern Conference.
They might already be that.
Yeah. I mean, they look outstanding, man. I love what they do on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. On both sides of the ball. So, I don't know how this turned into the five, but, it was a good conversation. All right, guys, enjoy the tournament. We'll be back on Monday to talk about everything. The tournament will actually still be going on Monday. I think the last set of games end on Monday. Which is
women's game, and a lot of the women's games
and the women's games will be going on Monday.
So we'll be on Monday.
Yeah, so we will be talking about these games in real time on next Monday when we do this live on Facebook and YouTube. And then you'll hear it on wherever podcast can be heard on Tuesday. Again, if you get an opportunity today, please go on to our ESPN Tournament Challenge bracket group. It's called the Noisemakers. And that's all we have. It's also sponsored by eBay. Go over there and sign up to be a part of it. Should be a lot of fun. It's always, listen, all this stuff is fun. You got as good a chance to win as anybody. Listen, don't nobody know what they're doing?
No.
The experts don't know what they're doing. We all guessing. So just guess with us.
Right.
You can win some prizes. There you go. So have a great day. We'll see you guys on Monday. And happy March Madness.
You have been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward and Lloyd Spence. You can tune in every Tuesday and Thursday on the Believe Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere podcasts can be heard. You can also watch Charlie and Lloyd on Facebook on the Noisemakers page and on YouTube on the Noise Media YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and follow on all our platforms, and we will keep taking you inside the ACC.